This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Much to discuss in our rumbling world, from North Korea to Eastern Turkey and beyond today. But right in our own neighborhood, we also have a crisis, an American city that seems to be the victim of basically a chemical attack on their water. The attackers weren't terrorists, saboteurs, or industrial polluters. It was their own city water system poisoning them. Melissa May's home is at ground zero of this contamination in the city of Flint, Michigan.
At the end of the day, every time they have an ache or a pain or another blood test or something else that is going wrong with my kids, and they ask me why this happened, the answer is always because the government wanted to save money. These people who don't know us made decisions for us and wouldn't go back and change them in enough time to save anybody.
Water quality scientist Mark Edwards says the attackers responsible for this chemical waste are familiar. Government omission, cut corners on safety, and then a cover-up.
It was the injustice of it all in the very agencies that are paid to protect these residents from lead in water knew or should have known after June, at the very, very latest of this year, that federal law was not being followed in Flint and these children and residents were not being protected. And the extent to which they went to cover this up exposes a new level of arrogance and uncaring that I have never encountered.
The water crisis in Flint, Michigan has been developing all of last year. Residents noticed a change in the water almost immediately after the city shifted to a different water source. With its aging lead and iron pipe plumbing, the city did not do enough to make sure the heavy metals would stay on those old pipes, and the effect of the new water was to corrode the pipes and send the contaminants directly into people's homes. A program of reassurance, boiling notices, city-installed filters didn't help. No one described this as a crisis until it was obvious. Now, the state head of the Department of Environmental Quality, Dan Wyant, and his spokesperson have resigned. The mayor of Flint during the water changeover is out, and now residents are pretty much on bottled water. Michigan Governor Snyder issued an apology to Flint in a written statement last week. "I want the Flint community to know how very sorry I am that this has happened, and I want all Michigan citizens to know that we will learn from this experience because Flint is not the only city that has an aging infrastructure." Governor Snyder did not return our request for comment. Mark Edwards, you just heard from, is a nationally renowned expert on municipal water quality. He and his team in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Virginia Tech formed a task force to address the problems with Flint city water. And you also heard the voice of Melissa Mays, a Flint resident, parent, and founder of the activist group Water You Fighting For. Mark, welcome to you.
Hello.
And Melissa, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Melissa, did the state of Michigan essentially allow you or the city of Flint leave you to drink toxic waste?
Oh, 100%. They encouraged it, actually.
Encouraged you to drink what was essentially, by chemical standards, toxic waste?
Yes.
How did you come to understand that?
I never did. We never accepted it. They would sit here and tell us that even if it's discolored, run your tap for a while, it'll be fine. It's safe. Just let your water run for a couple of minutes. No big deal. It'll be fine. This is just a bump in the road. Just a plethora of excuses and lies, and just told us, drink your water, make sure you pay your really high bill, and drink that water. It's safe. It's fine. We're telling you it's safe.
What kind of questions did your children ask you?
Why does the water smell funny? Why is the water yellow? They would come running out of the bathroom screaming because the bath would be yellow or blue. And they're like, Mom, something's wrong with the water again. And then as they started to get sick, they just couldn't understand why they didn't feel good. And the fact that the whole time it was the water is terrifying. And now my kids won't drink water. They won't do anything unless it comes from a bottle and they see where it comes from.
Mark Edwards, what was it that the city of Flint did that created this problem with Melissa's water and so many other residents?
90% of the problems arose from one fact and one fact only, and that is they did not follow federal law and add a corrosion control chemical to the water.
And this would have been required because they were shifting from one source to another, and when you do that, you have to understand that the pipes are going to respond differently to a different source of water.
Yes, it's very dangerous to supply water in a city that has 50% roughly lead pipes without a plan to keep the lead on the pipes and out of the water. It's also a financially good decision because in general, for each dollar spent to control corrosion, this is the most expensive problem faced by water companies around the country. the water will eat the pipes up and you will lose about $10. And in Flint's case, because it's a uniquely large system and it's already very old, probably for every dollar that they save by not putting the chemical in the water to control corrosion, they're going to lose about $1,000. So not only is it unsafe and illegal, but it's financially irresponsible too.
Melissa, what did you say to officials at the city level and all the way up to the State Department of Environmental Quality, you and your colleagues, trying to convince them that this was a serious problem?
We brought them more and more research. As the year went on, we connected with Bob Bocock, Aaron Brockovich, Lois Gibbs. So we had all of these experts bringing us all of this science and evidence, plus what we had dug up on our own. And we went to so many city council meetings, so many town hall meetings, and mailed letters, signed petitions, did whatever we could to bring them the science and research to prove this is not okay. We took our own medical records in, our own water tests in, and to say, stop this because you're poisoning people, it needs to stop. And they just laughed us off. They called us liars. They called us crazy to our face. And every time, like, the mayor went on TV drinking the water, the former mayor, and saying that, oh, the water's safe, it tastes great, it was a slap in the face to every citizen who was getting sick.
Mark Edwards, did you witness this government attitude of dismissiveness and even laughing at people like Melissa?
Yes, I did. And I heard their stories, and I also verified it from other sources that this was occurring. So we at Virginia Tech, we were pretty upset to hear about that, especially given that we had already measured these hazardous waste levels of lead in one Flint home, and a brave EPA employee had written a memo essentially saying Flint was breaking federal law. And so rather than address the legitimate science questions, they mounted a public relations campaign to discredit the residents, to discredit us. And I have never seen this level of arrogance and incompetence. It was mostly confined to a few key individuals, but other people are guilty of being far too trusting of those individuals and not listening to the people who were drinking this water.
Now, there's nothing confined about this contamination. How many people do you expect that it is affecting?
Well, in terms of the lead issue alone, the hazardous waste levels of lead we found in a few homes. The levels of lead were generally too high throughout the city. There's no way that Flint can be considered to have been meeting federal standards for lead and water safety. So in at least 25% of the homes in Flint, the lead in water was too safe. And of course, all the homes had problems in terms of distasteful, discolored water. And the amount of discoloration varied dramatically depending on whether you had an iron pipe in front of your house or not. So the harm wasn't spread equally throughout the city, but it was far too much of the population was exposed, and all of Flint, in the end, was a high-risk zone because we don't know where all the lead pipes are.
Melissa, what are the permanent impacts on your children, as far as you can tell?
What we're seeing already with our kids is lead lines in my middle child's bones. He is 12. He fell off of his bike, and he has two buckle fractures in his wrist just from falling over. So his bones are weaker. My oldest, he's got holes in the smooth sides of his teeth. So he's had to have two root canals and had to have fillings done. And the dentist believes it's because of the lead. And my youngest is still struggling. We can't get his white blood cell count above 4 when a year and a half ago, it was 10.4, I believe. So his immune system's compromised, and he's getting sick anytime somebody sneezes, basically. So it's been an ongoing struggle. And then they're now all struggling in school, memory, brain fog, because with a lot of our blood work, we're coming back with, we had lead, copper, aluminum, tin, and chromium in our systems. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We don't know what else. You know, we've been working with an environmental physician, so it's been helpful. But I'm terrified for my kids because they were doing great in school. They had a great path that they were on, and now they're slipping.
And some people listening to this would say, well, get out of town, Melissa. I mean, you know, leave.
We probably would if we could, except for the fact that we own our home. And we were told by a realtor that it's illegal to sell your home with a known copper and lead problem unless you fix it. And we just don't have the money to replace our service line, plus all our interior plumbing and our water heater yet again. We're on number three in 14 months. So the money that we put out in bottled water, plus $200 to $300 per month for bills, for the water bill, and all the medication, because the detox therapies are not covered by insurance, and neither is the environmental physician we're seeing. So we're just too tight, so we can't up and leave. And then again, this is home.
Mark Edwards, I've seen reports that say that this contamination and the impact of this contamination has been borne unfairly on the backs of poor and African-American individuals in the Flint community. Is that your assessment of this?
Yes, that's always the case, unfortunately, with lead and water exposure, because, for example, breastfeeding, which is less common amongst poor people, they would use infant formula, and this is the major exposure route to children. So we always see economic disparities in terms of the lead poisoning incidents, and certainly that was probably the case in Flint, because some people could afford to buy bottled water, buy filters from the earliest phases, and they were protected to at least some extent from the lead in water. And it was truly the poorest people who could not afford to buy bottled water, for whatever reason, could not breastfeed because of conflicts with work, and couldn't buy filters. And it's those children that bore the greatest harm here.
Mark Edwards is a professor at Virginia Tech's Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering Department. Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Melissa Mays, what do you think you'll be saying about this 10 years, 20 years from now?
Well, I'm hoping that things get changed like they're supposed to here. And I'm hoping that the city of Flint is a shining example of citizens standing up when they know something's wrong, getting the right answers, and continuing to fight no matter how hard and how difficult and how much they dismiss you. I want us to be a good example. And I want us to be an example of why cities and states should never cut corners when it comes to water treatment, and they should maintain and monitor the water system properly. So that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping 10 years from now, other crises will be averted because of what's happened here.
Melissa Mays is a resident of Flint, Michigan, a parent and founder of What Are You Fighting For?, an activist group that is focused on the contamination in Flint. Melissa, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.